This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. When he was just 13 years old, Barnaba Madal fled his homeland of Sudan. Eventually, he got to the U.S., where he and his mother and brothers settled in New Hampshire in a mostly white high school and a mostly white city and a very white state. Barnaba spoke almost no English, but he was completely fluent in soccer. New Hampshire Public Radio's Dan Gorenstein has the story.
Barnaba has always felt comfortable on the soccer field. He remembers his first games. He would follow his older brother to a crude field. Bricks marked the goals. The little boys played on sand and dirt.
My favorite position was to be the goalie. Every time someone take a shot, I turn around and would just hit my butt. Getting hit in the face with the soccer, I'm like, God, but I saved it. You know, that was something I enjoyed. Like, people would be like, oh, the best goalie, we want him. You know, and I was just five.
Barnaba, who lived in the Sudanese capital Khartoum, can still see spiky glass ringing the walls of the two-bedroom home, trying to ward off thieves. A black Christian living in the Muslim-dominated north, Barnaba knew he wasn't too safe.
If I go out to the street at night, I'll get jumped. This bunch of guys are just wanting to beat me up. I'm Christian, you know, from the south, and this is the north. I mean, they'll beat the crap out of me. That's why at night I stay in my house.
At age 13, Barnaba's father fled after news spread of his involvement in anti-government activities. The rest of the family followed, winding up in an Egyptian refugee camp. 2 years later, Barnaba, his mother, and brothers and sisters flew into the airport in Manchester, New Hampshire. At 15, Barnaba became a freshman at Manchester Central High School. His teacher, Sheila Gironi, says he had a lot of ground to cover.
When Barnaba came, he had pretty good spoken English. His writing skills were pretty weak, but he's a thinker. You know, at the end of the year, we would read a story, and he was able to grasp themes and ideas, and that was good. And in math, same thing.
More than once, Barnaba found his remedial classes humiliating.
I was like, I'm in high school. Why am I, like, doing the things that are, like, first graders and third graders do? So I was thinking to myself, wow, like, I'm just starting, like, all over again.
He was, academically, socially, culturally. Ignorant of the Red Sox, Lil Jon, and Dave Chappelle, Barnaba spent much of his time on the third floor of the school, removed from the center of Central. After 2 long years of teaching his tongue new tricks, Barnaba still felt isolated. Like most teenagers, all Barnaba wanted was attention, affection, and people to remember his name. At the end of his sophomore year, two friends, both African refugees themselves, suggested varsity soccer as the cure to Barnaba's loneliness. At that point, Barnaba realized something.
I can't speak English or anything. I use my weapon, which is soccer. And soccer does the talking for you. If no one wants to know you, just be like, okay, don't know me. Grab a soccer ball.
On the field, he thought, it's hard to ignore someone, especially if he can help you win.
As long as you have talent, people will be willing to know you. That can, like, be a key to you, like, to make those friends that, like, oh, we gotta help this guy, and he's gonna help us get winning games, so we're gonna need this guy.
Put your hand up if you're game fit.
The first time varsity soccer coach Chris LaBerge ever saw Barnaba, he wasn't sure who was showing up.
I look at him, I take a step back. He's intimidating to me. He's, you know, he's much darker complexion than anybody I've ever been around. He's got very red eyes where normally it's white. His eyes are red. It's hot. He's sweating a lot. And I don't know. I've never seen him kick a ball. So I don't know what he can do for us. But I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a little bit intimidated, when he's on the field, what are the other kids going to feel like?
The coach paired Barnaba with one of the team's seniors for a hustle one-on-one drill. A shortish, skinny white guy. A tallish, lanky black guy. LaBerge rolled the ball onto the field.
Inside of me, there was something telling me, you can't let him beat you to the ball. So, like, we put up, like a good fight for the ball. It was, like, really, like, getting really rough and kind of rugged. I give people elbows, boom, hit him. He's like, wow, he gets back. He was choking, and I was going with the ball. And he's like, you hit me, man. And he's like, that was good, man. You played well. And yeah, I kind of, like, left the mark. It's like, wow, I'm here to play. I'm not here for you to let you to play on me or run on me.
Barnaba had caught the coach's eye again, but this time it wasn't for his skin color.
From seeing him walk up to, and watching him play, you know, I go full circle. I'm like, this kid is, you know, going to be great for us over the next few years.
Quickly, LeBurge named Barnaba a starter. He co-captained the team his senior season. He was no longer invisible. He'd wear his jersey in the halls, yelling at kids to support their soccer team, his soccer team.
It's like sharing something. So, like, this Central basically gave me my respect. I'm not just another student. I'm there. I'm a real student and doing something for the school.
Barnaba had arrived. He and his friends rented a white stretch limo to go to the senior prom. He knew plenty of girls. But still, soccer couldn't change everything. His grades were poor, and unlike his two African friends, no college would offer him a soccer scholarship after graduation. But Barnaba got lucky. That winter, an old teammate helped him out. Barnaba was introduced to the coach of a prestigious New Hampshire prep school. The coach was impressed and offered Barnaba a $36,000 scholarship for a fifth year of high school. In exchange, the boy would play on the soccer team. Central High teacher Sheila Droney was happy to hear the news, but she still fears Barnaba may not be ready for life after high school.
You have kids graduating like Barnaba, who maybe are not stellar in academics. It gets worrisome when you see that they're graduating and the skills that they really should have are not really where they should be.
I proudly present to you Central High School graduating class of 2006.
The 2006 graduating class is milling about behind a huge curtain waiting for the ceremony to begin. Lined up in their caps and gowns, most kids are thinking about summer vacation, saying goodbyes in college. Minutes before Barnaba walks across the stage, he's thinking about ripped tendons, sprained ankles, and concussions.
I don't want to get hurt. If I get hurt, everything is gone. If I get hurt, then I won't get it. Like, I won't be able to be who I am.
But Barnaba is used to life being out of his control. In addition to soccer, he's had to get good at living on instincts and chutzpah. It's been 5 months since graduation, and he's already made the conference all-star team. He's approaching all the challenges at his new school with the attitude he had when he first arrived in this country. When his worried mom told him he'd have to start ninth grade with only a fourth grade education, he said, "Don't worry, Mom. They want me to do it. I'll do it." For NPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein in Concord, New Hampshire.